Good to see everybody. How are you doing? Are you having a good time this weekend? Yeah, you can do better than that, man. You having a good time? Yeah, good, yeah. I heard you cheering at the game yesterday. I know you can do better than that, man. Well, it's good to see you. You guys look amazing. And I'm so excited for what the rest of this day holds. I came home just a few days ago, and my wife, you know, we have jokes, you know, you develop inside jokes with your spouse or with very close friends and things of that nature. And so I came home, and Lauren, my wife Lauren, she looked at me and she goes, "I remember you." I thought, okay. She goes, "I remember you." And it was just a tease. In other words, haven't seen you in a while. And I kind of begin to think about balancing your life and balancing life and family and balancing work and some of the things that God's put on your heart, whether it's ministry or some of you are starting businesses and you're becoming very successful in one area, but at the same time, trying to maintain another area. And so when my wife made that comment to me, I go, all right, break, time to take inventory and make sure that I'm keeping things healthy. Amen. In my home, and then of course in my own body. And so, if I fail in my own body and mind and my own spirit, man, I will fail at home. Do you hear me? Yeah. If I fail here, I will fail everywhere. Amen. I can't be a success. It doesn't count if I'm a success out there and not a success in here. Does that make sense? And so, when my wife made that comment, it kind of stirred some things up on the inside of me. And the other day I was doing some reading and research, and there was a guy who will remain nameless, but he's a master fire builder. How many of you all can build a mean fire? I'm talking, now listen now, I'm not talking one of those cute Labor Day backyard bonfires. All right, guys, I'm talking about a fire, a man's fire. You need a fire. I'm talking about a fire. I'm talking about a fire. And I began to watch this gentleman who was a master fire builder. And man, he'd get into some of the most adverse conditions. And man, he'd be out in the snow and he'd be building his fire and he'd be putting things together. And he knew right where to put the kindling. And he knew right where to place everything. Even in the rain, this guy managed to build an unbelievable fire. And it began to spark. Get it? Spark. Some things on the inside of me. That was for free. That was free. But it began to spark some things on the inside of me. And I began to think, man, I want my faith to be like that. I want to be able to keep the fires of my life lit, man, in the greatest of conditions, the easiest of conditions, and even in the hardest of conditions. And I began to think past that. I said, what would it be like if you've ever been camping? What would it be like? And if you know and you've ever been, I even wore my kind of camping shirt today a little bit. But I was thinking, man, what would it be like if you've been camping? How many of you all been camping? You build a fire. That's right. I would expect more hands to go up. That's okay. Be praying. There'll be an altar call later for non-campers. But can you imagine going camping and you do what you do and you get your campground set up and whatnot and you're making space for your tent. And of course, everybody knows you've got to have space for your what? Your bonfire, man. You got to have space for your fire. And so, man, you do everything you've got to do. And if you're like me and the way I grew up, man, we're breaking sticks off of everything and piling it up and you're building a fire. Well, I got to thinking about that guy who was a master fire builder. It wasn't so much that he was a master fire builder, but he knew how to maintain that fire in adverse conditions. It's one thing to be a master builder, and it was a whole other thing entirely for this gentleman to be able to waft and begin to keep that thing lit and going in the snow and in the rain. And I thought, man, what would it be like if life was like a campground? And you had your one fire that was you and your health or whatever it might be, your marriage, whatever you want to call it. And you had your fire. This is your campground. This is your bonfire, okay? But life is like building 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 of them. Amen. And it's like, you know, you've got the fire of your own health, right? And you've got that thing going and it's lit. Okay, great. Now that I'm married, I've got to get this guy built and get this thing. Oh, this one's burning. And so and then all of a sudden it's like, well, my health is starting to suffer. So I've got fire here.
And I begin to get this fire. Oh God, don't forget this one's still burning, and you gotta get kindling, and you're keeping this one alive and that one alive. This is more like life. And then the fire of your marriage, man, you gotta work this thing. We gotta keep this, I gotta keep it lit, and I gotta keep that lit without letting this one burn out. And now we're married. I've gotta maintain my health, my walk with God, but I got kids. And if you know anything about the Gatlins, we got a lot of kids. Changed my name to Duggar. And so I start building a new fire, and now I've got the fire of my health, my walk with God, and I'm married, so I gotta keep this fire going, and I gotta make sure it's fed, and now I got kids, and it's kind of a little fire, but it's still burning nonetheless. So man, I gotta keep this going, and this is what life feels like. You know, too often it's like you're trying to keep one lit and trying to maintain another. Well, now I've got my health and my walk with God. I'm married, I have kids, and I felt like the Lord told us to start a new business. So here we go. And we're building fires. Man, I got fires everywhere. It's so hot, I got fires everywhere. So now we've got fires of life. And I think for so many of us, there's so many. Sorry, I'm out of breath. Hope the fire's going out. So you're working, and you've got the bonfire of your marriage and your walk with God and your kids and that business that you've always had on the inside of you, or maybe it's your job, maybe your second job, or whatever it is, and you've got your hopes and your dreams over here. And if you're like most men, that's the first fire to burn out.
Come on,
but it wasn't supposed to be that way. See, it wasn't supposed to be that way. See, we weren't supposed to have this one. See, you weren't supposed to be out of breath like I'm out of breath. You understand? See, we weren't supposed to run from keeping my marriage alive and making sure my kids are alive and keeping that stoked. Oh God, the business. I forgot the business. And then, oh, I'm late to my kids' t-ball game. And you're trying to keep fires burning everywhere. And you got to understand, as men, if you're anything like me, you want to do it yourself, man. You want to keep all of that up and alive yourself. But God never called you to do that in your own strength. You were never designed to keep the fires of your life alive in your own strength. Amen. And so often, man, it feels like you've got the fires of life burning, and it's literally this balancing act of keeping my marriage alive, and I haven't worked out in 2 years because you're too busy, you know, you come on, right? And you're trying to prioritize, you know, my kids. I'm starting to feel a little distant, so you're trying to get kindling. And I mean, that's just the way it kind of often feels. It's not just one pretty little campfire. It's fire and fire and fire. And life often feels like trying to keep most of them alive. And the truth is, you and I were never supposed to keep those alive in our own strength, in our own wisdom, or in our own ability. And God's called you to a higher place, men. Guys, some of you are married, some of you are not. Some of you have kids, some of you don't. Some of you have jobs, some of you don't. We're all in different journeys together, and that's okay. That is okay. But I believe God's called us to another level of living. You know, I'll never forget. Can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
I remember hearing a story my dad would tell me about his dad, and his dad really was never... still out of breath. Pray for me. His dad was really never in the picture. And the times he was in the picture, it just wasn't pleasant. Makes sense? And so I remember my dad telling the story of a Christmas morning, and he was just a kid. And, you know, his dad, my grandfather, would begin to open presents, and in typical fashion, my grandfather would wake up Christmas morning and straight to the bottle. I mean, it was straight to drinking. It was straight to masking, you know, pain, or just straight to some sort of escape. And so my dad began to tell the story. He remembered that time my grandfather would go around the tree and he'd be undoing his present, and he was so intoxicated that he would stumble over to the tree. He would even open up one of my dad's little presents, one of his toys, and he'd get upset in his drunken stupor, and he'd throw it across the room. And, you know, things like that can really scar a young boy, right? And he began to tell me the story, and it wasn't to bring me down or to tell a negative story. It was really to say, you know, your grandfather really struggled with keeping the fires of his life lit. And he had many of them, and over time his health began to give out, and over time his marriage would begin to suffer, and ultimately if that suffered, the children would begin to suffer, and then this fire would begin to burn out, and somewhere along the line, my grandfather really had begun to just let the fires of life, great fires, godly fires, begin to burn out, and he began to find ways of escape. And you know, it was never supposed to be that way. See, you and I were supposed to, designed to, and anointed to lean on the Lord in everything we do. You understand that?
Yes.
Amen. And I was committed to not preaching as I came up here. But I did want to say a couple things, which would be this. You were created for more. You were meant for more. And I want to say this. You are able. When you don't feel like you are able. When you don't feel like you're strong, you are. And some of us need to stop comparing our behind the scenes with someone else's highlight reel. And start going, I'm going to run the race that God has me running, and I'm going to run it like a champ. Amen. I'm going to run it like a champ with my head held high. And you better believe if I've got 15 fires burning, I'm going to keep them burning. Amen. And I believe that in this place, I'm looking around at a bunch of men who are committed to keeping the fires of marriage burning.
Amen.
Amen. To keep the fires of work burning. We wouldn't have to sacrifice one for the other. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all his ways, in all our ways, acknowledge him. That's how we get it done. That's how we run our race like a champ. And I believe I'm looking around at a bunch of men who know that they know that they know that you're a champ. You know, you grow up your whole life wanting to be the best and wanting to be a champion. And can I tell you this? You still are. You've got what it takes. Amen. Hey, did you get anything out of this? Thank you. Amen.